Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we are so excited to sing praises to you tonight, to focus so much on your Son and how he is truly the light to the world. And Lord, thinking of this morning, we don't want to be the church of Laodicea. We are not self-sufficient. We do not drift towards holiness apart from you, and we cannot be in the right spirit without the Holy Spirit working in us. And Lord, we can't even give glory to you properly without having that relationship with you. So Lord, we are coming tonight to you humbly, ready to sing, and whether it's vocal or instrumental or memory or just speaking, Lord, whatever talent we might possess, Lord, we ask that may it all in its entirety glorify you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand with me as we sing one verse of Angels We Have Heard on High. One verse, it'll be on the PowerPoint. I'm sure all of you know the words. The first verse of Angels We Have Heard on High.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echo back the joyous strains.
Here again and all around the earth.
People think of Jesus and celebrate his birth.
Jesus is God's only Son sent from heaven above.
Only begotten Son.
Life. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, light sprung up. Matthew 4:16.
Then Jesus spake unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12.
Jesus is God's Christmas light, the light of the world.
Jesus knows me by my name. He loves me too. That's why he came.
A Christmas gift, give him my gift. I sang for him each day I live.
Christmas lights are shining.
Christmas lights are shining red and green and blue.
Light to pray, Christmas lights are fine. Shine for Jesus too.
Light the pretty Christmas lights on Saint Jesus too.
Here in my small corner, how about you?
All right. Jesus loves the little children, and if we have the faith of a child, that is true faith and is the most wonderful thing to see little children singing to Jesus Christ and really encouraging us to have a light to the world of which we are. Let's go ahead and pray for our evening offering. Father, thank you so much for once again bringing us here to assemble together to worship you, to know you. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to worship in song. I pray, Father, that you'd work in all the aspects of this service, that we would all have an open heart to learn about who Jesus is and what he has done for us by coming into this world as a baby to be born, for a mission to die and to rise again victorious. I pray, Father, that you'd allow us all to look into what it means for Jesus to be the light of the world and for us to reflect that light to that world. I pray that you bless this evening's offering and those who give it. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. you stand with me once more as we sing the fourth verse of Angels We Have Heard on High? It again will be on the PowerPoint. Fourth verse of Angels We Have Heard on High.
See him in a manger, lay Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid with us, sing our Savior's birth.
Thank you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When God first made the world, he had created it perfect. This unspotted world had no trace of the darkness of sin, sickness, or death. When he created mankind, they were also created without any flaws, making the relationship between God and man perfect and with no barriers. However, contrary to God's command, mankind made one choice to sin against God, bring the ugly curse of sin into God's beautiful creation. God and man had been separated by sin, and what was once filled with the light of perfection was now blackened with the darkness of sin. Even in the midst of the curse of sin, God in his perfect love promised mankind that he would send a savior, the Messiah, to save the world from its darkness and bring the light of salvation. The world long awaited for this Messiah to come and dispel the curse of sin with the light of God's perfect plan of salvation. While the world still waited, one of the first people to hear the Messiah's arrival was a young girl named Mary, who heard the joyous news through the message of an angel. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." When the day of Christ's birth finally came, Mary and her husband Joseph were away in a long journey in Bethlehem, where the only lodging they could find was in a cattle stall. Nearby, shepherds watching their sheep in their fields heard of Jesus' birth when the angel Gabriel appeared to them, saying, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Suddenly the sky lit up in a glorious light as a chorus of angels sang the wonderful news, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, goodwill towards men."
Would you stand with me as we sing our next hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing"? We'll sing the first verse and the third verse. "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, find the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heavenward Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with him in his wings. While he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Be seated.
Immediately, the shepherds left their search to find the newborn Messiah. When they found him, they may have been astonished to see that he'd been born in a lowly cow stall and laid in a manger to sleep.
Would you stand once again with me as we sing Away in a Manger, the first and the last verses of Away in a Manger.
Away in a manger, no crib or a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there.
You may be seated.
Not only did the message of Christ's birth reach the shepherds' fields, but the message of Jesus' arrival also spread to a faraway country, reaching a group of wise men who studied the stars. These men were told of the Savior's coming through the God-given sign of a bright star in the eastern sky, which led the way for the men to come and see the Savior. The men followed the star, which led them to where Jesus was. Matthew 2:1-2 says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him."
Thou blessed morn, when the great Mediator, down from the regions of glory descends. Shepherds, go worship the babe in the manger. Look for his guard, the bright angels attend. Brightest and best of the signs of the morning, dawn on our darkness and lend us thine aid. Star in the east, the horizon adorning, guide where our infant Redeemer is laid. Cold on his cradle the dewdrops are shining, low lies his head with the beasts of the stall. Angels adore him in slumbers reclining, Maker and Monarch and Savior of all. Brightest and best of the sons of the morning, dawn on our darkness and lend us thine aid. Star in the east, the horizon adorning, guide where our infant Redeemer is laid. Say, shall we yield him in costly devotion, odors of Edom and offerings divine, gems from the mountain and pearls from the ocean, myrrh from the forest and gold from the mine. Brightest and best of the sons of the morning, dawn on our darkness and lend us thine aid. Star in the east, the horizon adorning, guide where our infant Redeemer is laid.
As Jesus became a man, he taught many people and performed many miracles. His ministry was to be a light in a lost and dark world. However, the whole reason for his coming was to be the ultimate sacrifice to pay for our sins. Christ took our sin for us and did so by taking the punishment we deserve, which is death. Christ was born to die and then rise from the dead with victory, and he did it all for us. Jesus offers us the light of his salvation. In Christ is light and life. Only through him can we have the hope of salvation. Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life."
And please turn in your hymnals. It's not on the PowerPoint this time. 202, I'm sure a song we all know very well still. Good Christian Men Rejoice as we transition into Pastor Dillman's challenge. 202, Good Christian Men Rejoice.
Good
Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Oxen has before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today, Christ is born today.
On our last.
Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Peace, peace, Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting hall. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
Amen. You may be seated.
Again, I want to thank you for coming out tonight. It's just so encouraging to see a full crowd, and so great to sing to a crowd as well. It's just been a wonderful time. I want to thank Diana Strobel and all those that helped her with the Sunday school program. It's like no matter what kids do, it's always adorable and just funny, and it was just great tonight. I want to thank them for that. I want to thank Micah Garland for working hard at narrating. He did a great job tonight. And I also want to thank, of course, my wife, and all the hard work she put in this choir, and just countless hours, not just here for practice, but at home, and then deciding what songs to pick and organizing the service. And she's just done a great job. And I want to thank the choir for their work, not just here, but of course at home, listening to the songs when they're new and putting that extra effort into it. It's just been great. And I want to thank Pastor for giving me the chance to speak tonight. So a lot of people to thank, and I hope you've just enjoyed the service so much. Isn't it amazing that we're here tonight, and even if we, like, filled the entire gym with just more professional singers and maybe more musical instruments and maybe even a bagpipe from a distance, maybe, even with all that music, it still would pale in comparison to the angelic chorus that the shepherds heard. Like, what a night that must have been. You know, we enjoy this, but man, that must have been just wonderful. I want to guide you to a familiar verse tonight, just to close off our service in just a few minutes that we have left. Please turn to Matthew chapter 4. We'll be looking at verse 16 of Matthew chapter 4. I shared this story with the kids at Awana. There was a time in my life as a very, very young kid that for whatever reason, my parents took me to like this underground maze, and it was like a claustrophobe's nightmare at this maze, and there's many different entrances, complete pitch black. You had to bring a flashlight, you were put in teams, and right before they started the game, each person was divvied out a certain career or something that could help the squad or whatever, and I remember... It's so embarrassing, but I remember as a very young kid getting minister as an option, and that was my card. I was the minister, and with my horizontal view and just not very spiritual as a kid, I was like, great, you know, what can I do as a minister? And I'm, again, young kid, not 18 or anything, and then someone explained to me what it was, and it's like, no, actually, that's a really, really important part of this group. You know, what if, you know, you're inside the tunnels, and you're talking to guys, you know, what if you died today in this tunnel, and all this stuff, and we had a great time, and there were moments where in our group, we're crawling in these tunnels that all of a sudden, as a joke, people would start turning out their lights, but we had so much fun, but in that darkness, we couldn't do anything. We couldn't get out. We were just in a really, really bad situation until we had that light. Matthew 4:16. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. In this context, we're a number of years past the manger scene. But the context is right after the temptation of Christ. Basically, the first thing he does after hearing that Herod Antipas has put John in prison, is he goes to Capernaum to fulfill prophecy and preach to all these little towns and cities. And that fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that was said and written down 8 centuries before Christ did it. Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee," it's important, "in Galilee of the nations, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." So you'd think, you know, Christ, after his temptation, he's finished with his trial with Satan, and immediately, you know, he goes to the Jews. Immediately he finds the nearest synagogue in Jerusalem, you know, God's people, right? Nope. He preaches to the outcasts. He preaches to those at Galilee, those that were people that the Jews would avoid, the non-traditional mixed group of Samaritans and Galileans. They get the great honor of hearing from Christ for the very first time after his temptation. They would not be blind like the Laodiceans we heard about this morning, but they recognized their need. Christ for the whole world. And that really is our theme tonight. It's Jesus for the whole world, not just for the Jews, but he offers salvation for the whole world. There's a new dawning for the world at this point in time that the gospel is for everyone. I like how it's put in the King James Version, "sprung up." Okay, this light was sprung up. And it's something that, like, catches you off guard. The Greek word for sprung actually is typically used in the context of the sun rising up all of a sudden. It's interesting how light is a symbol of hope. I used to watch a lot the series Deadliest Catch when I was a teenager. I don't know why it fascinated me so much. I hate the fear of going in the water. I hate the fear of drowning, all that. But I love watching the show, and it's extremely dangerous. And, you know, there were some episodes where they're on the boat, and they're in this terrible, terrible storm. And, you know, they're losing their pods, their cages to catch the crab in the Bering Sea. And, you know, everything's flying around, and they're slipping and sliding on the deck. And then it changes to another camera, and they're below deck. And, you know, everything in the kitchen is flying around. And they're just in this terrible, terrible storm. But sometimes they would have a break in the clouds, and the sun had risen, and there it was. Light is a symbol of hope. Spiritually speaking, without Christ, people are in a perpetual storm, a storm of spiritual darkness, a storm they can't break free of in and of themselves, and it's actually a storm that they deserve to be in. Because of sin, because of rebellion against God, they deserve judgment. Because of sin, we don't deserve a relationship with our Creator. We deserve to be judged. But God had a plan. And I love the songs that we had tonight. I love the narration. Everything about this whole service has been focusing on the light of the world, which is Christ. And the true reason why we have the manger for the cross. There was a purpose behind the crib. I know many people see, and I think of it as just going to stores and they see Christmas cards and, oh, there's a manger scene, that's cute. Christ was a good person, wonderful. No, he came for a reason, with the sole purpose of going to the cross. Light is a symbol of hope. Cannot separate the crib from the cross. So Jesus is a light to the world, that he offers salvation willingly. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation, to be free of the storm, so to speak, that we deserve to be in. But Christ offers salvation as like a life raft for us that, you know, we can choose to accept or not accept. And that's really the first point in terms of just application thinking tonight. Have you accepted this light? Have you accepted this salvation? It could happen tonight if it's not the case with you. Have you accepted this light of the world? And if you have, The application is really simple because we have Matthew 5:14-16. Ye are the light then. If you've accepted Christ, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Thinking of maybe even Jerusalem, right on the hill. No one can miss it. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, as we so beautifully saw with the kids singing, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men, that, you know, purpose statement, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're, in a weird way, we're kind of like the moon. We're reflecting the light from something else. As the sun reflects light to the moon, we enjoy it at night. We are like that too. There's no light that we can provide in and of ourselves. We need this light of Christ. So as we are in the Christmas season, you need to ask yourself, how am I being a light to the world? How am I evidencing that? We have so much opportunity here in the States because, unlike where I grew up, you can see glimpses of Christianity still in our culture. I know it's a struggle, and this has been a battle in our culture. But where I grew up, man, you could go to a store, and there could be Christmas cards galore, and not a single one depicting a manger scene. Nothing about angels, just Santa Claus. Where I grew up, you could go in the indoor mall and hear songs about Christmas, but have nothing whatsoever to do about Christ. But here, you know, I heard a Christmas song at the USPS. It's like, okay, great. You know, we can start conversations this way. Hey, do you know what the song is all about? Do you know what the greatest gift is? What are you doing to be a light to the world with your attitudes and actions? From Matthew 5:14-16, that they may see your good works and glorify God which is in heaven. You should have an attitude and actions that make people go, wow, that is awesome. That God gave you that talent. That God did this. Man, God was glorified. Or for an unbeliever, why are you the way that you are? Why did you do that? Why didn't you blow up when someone cut you off in line and it's Christmas and we've been in line for 20 minutes at the store? We have all these different opportunities to share Christ, share the light. So I want you to think about that. How are you being a light this Christmas? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this service. Thank you that you sent your Son, and that is the true meaning, real meaning of why this season is so, so important. That you sent your Son to die on the cross, that we can have a relationship with you. Sin has broken that relationship, and spiritually we're dark, spiritually we're ugly. But you have taken that sin upon your Son. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here tonight that has not accepted this light that we've sung about and we've heard so much about tonight, I pray that they would accept it even tonight, that you would work in their hearts and use the Holy Spirit to help them accept that wonderful, glorious truth. In Jesus' name, amen.